Well, okay, in principle, since it's the genomic DNA of an individual, the entire information about that individual is hidden in the DNA. The trick is to read that information, to extract it from the DNA sequence that is in there. And that is part of research to reveal that information. And we are now at a position where we have certain tools that we can use where we can make some predictions about that particular person. The first one are traits of outer appearance. So we call them externally visible characteristics. And these, the most simple ones, have been studied very well. And these are color of the hair, color of the iris, the eye color, and the skin color. And these markers are all ruled by a handful of genes, which we know to some extent, and we can make reasonably good predictions. The probabilities for eye color, for example, to distinguish blue eye color from brown eye color is like 90 to 95%. For hair color, it's a little bit less. It's like 80% to 90% for dark hair and blonde hair. Then there's a very typical gene for red hair, which is very easy to predict, but it's more in the 80, 90, 95% range.
Okay, so 19 out of 20 cases, you'd be right in saying
you would be right, yeah.
He has blue eyes or brown eyes. Yeah. And at this point, Germany can't use this information.
Right.
Why?
Well, the main reason is that our Code of Criminal Procedures has a restriction in the law. And one of the reasons why Germans are very restrictive in these things has to do with German history. Because of the Nazi times, when minorities were singled out and the Germans killed millions of Jews and other minorities like gypsies and so on.
Based on their genetic
makeup. Based on their genetic, because they were singled out as having bad genes, you know. There was something which was called eugenics, which means that the so-called Aryan race, they called it races, of course, and they were racists. They were thinking that their own ancestry, their own race is superior to the others. So therefore, they tried to get rid of those populations which they were thinking they were inferior, like the Jews and gypsies or whatever. And because of that history, Germans are very sensitive because they do not want to get into a situation where minorities can be discriminated against. And this may be one of the reasons why it is a difficult discussion when you talk about genetics.
Professor Schneider, as someone deeply involved in genetics and molecular biology for decades now, do you think it's time for Germany to take the step?
I think we are in a position that we understand what we are doing. And my idea is that we should at least enter a discussion what we can do and what we want to do. If you start a debate, it must be an informed debate. Otherwise, you cannot really understand the arguments. And the main reason for our statement that we made was to set the record straight, to explain what is the potential of these methods and what are the limitations, what is currently under research and how far does it get us and where are the limits, how powerful is the information or where is a lack of information, for example. I mean, you can discuss very easily who cares about eye color and hair color. You can wear contact lenses with another color, and you can dye your hair into from blonde to gray to black to whatever. So it's not a big deal in the end. It's just a first step into externally visible characteristics.
Where could it possibly lead?
Yeah, that is the point. The point, of course, is when it comes to externally visible characteristics, then the ultimate goal would be to develop a genetic photo fit image just based on DNA. That is, of course, something would be the ultimate goal, because also our face is genetically determined. When you look at identical twins, you know they have the same DNA. They look identical.
Isn't that scary to you almost, to take DNA and put a face on it?
Well, of course it's scary, but I think it still might not be enough to identify a single person. You still have similarities and differences. It will not be as good as a photo. But if you ask me how long will it take, I would say 10 years, maybe. It's still a way to go. We're at the very, very first step.
Okay, so at this point, the Federal Justice Ministry is considering some of the statements that you've made as, you know, a potential change of law. What's going to happen next at this point, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, after this case in Freiburg, when it turned out that the person who probably committed the crime came from the Middle East, police and local politicians were making an argument, if we would have been able to use that predictive genotyping method, we would have been able to identify a possible target population much more early, and we might have been able to find that individual much more quickly. So therefore, they say this is a very important tool for investigations, and why shouldn't we have it? Because it is allowed in other countries, and the big example is the Netherlands, where it is legally possible to type externally visible characteristics and ancestry and age since 10 years already. And now the ball is in the hands of the politicians, because they have to consider if they want to do that or not. And if they want to do it, normally there are political consultations. There should be consultations also with social scientists, with the public, with the legal community, to collect opinions about how we can develop the law so that it is really unambiguous in terms of what can be done and what is not allowed to be done. And I hope that when it comes to the scientific assessment of the technology, that they will get proper advice about the limitations and the potential of the method in a way that this law is still operational 10 years from now, when we have more information about the genetic makeup of individuals. So that this is not just a law for the next 5 years, but maybe for the next 10 to 20 years. So that we are able to accommodate those things that are coming up in some time. And that I think we should definitely exclude anything that is invisible. We should exclude anything which is related to diseases and anything which is part of the private part of the human DNA. Because that is not really interesting. We only want to see how a person looks like. And if we have found that person, we don't need the DNA anymore because we know how this guy looks like. So it's pretty obvious. So we even don't have to store the genetic data for the predictive tests. We only need to store the classical DNA fingerprint. And if we identify a group of suspects, we still need the classical DNA profiling method to find out which of these persons is the real donor of the crime stain. Because that can never be done on these markers, which are just allowing predictions. So there's some kind of basically built-in data protection to the extent that we don't need to store these data. We just need to store the results with the probabilities for a certain appearance trait. That's all we need to know in the end.